You are listening to another edition of BlockReportRadio.com with the Minister of Information, JR, on Flashpoints. Today in court at the Johannes Messerli murder trial, breaking news is that the judge will allow the defense to show a video from Oscar Grant's cell phone where Grant captures Messerli pointing a taser at him. This piece of evidence, according to many in the courtroom, seems to be the nail in the coffin, proving premeditated murder that Messerli put his taser away and pulled out his gun to shoot Oscar Grant intentionally. Now we are going to speak with one of the leading journalists in the courtroom covering the case, Tandisizwe Chimurenga, a.k.a. Tandy. How are you, Tandy?
I'm good. I'm stunned, but I'm good.
Well, Tandy, before we get into what happened today, can you give the people a brief history of who Oscar Grant is and why this case is significant to black people, to all victims of law enforcement in America?
Well, you know, Oscar Grant was traveling with his friends on New Year's Eve on the BART when he and they were pulled off the train by BART police officers. And what ensued, basically they were, you know, racially profiled, they were harassed, and a climate was created where Oscar Grant ended up losing his life. He was about to be arrested, and a police officer, a BART officer by the name of Johannes Messerli, went to handcuff him and decided that Oscar Grant was not giving him his hands quick enough, that Oscar was resisting. He said he claims he was going to tase Oscar, and pulled out his gun and shot him point blank in the back. And Oscar would die from that wound several hours later. It was caught on numerous videotapes, as you all know. And when you look at most of the videotapes, you will see, you can hear the voices of the people who shot the video on the subway, on the BART. You know, it starts out, they're sounding like frustrated train riders, frustrated partygoers. They don't know why they've been stopped, why they're being delayed, why they can't go on about their business. And then they begin to see the treatment meted out to Oscar and his friends by the BART officers. They begin to yell their displeasure, and then they hear that shot, and they begin to get angry. They've witnessed something. They've witnessed something that most black people endure, and there's never any witnesses or any cameras around.
Why is this case so historic?
This particular case is historic because this is the first time in California history, at least, possibly U.S. history, that a law enforcement officer is being tried for murder in the line of duty, for a line of duty shooting of a person of African descent.
How is the state responding to this? Does the state consider this a historic case? Why or why not?
Well, you know, the state is represented by the Alameda County District Attorney's Office, and there are times down here during the pretrial hearings that he has seemed kind of quiet. And it could be due to the fact that it's warm up, it's not actually game time yet, but it seems that he's been kind of quiet, although according to my sources, he's expressed his concerns to the family that he does intend to try this case vigorously. But as we all know, the district attorneys and law enforcement are on the same teams. So we're really going to have to just wait and see what happens.
Well, you use the word vigorously. What does vigorously mean for people who have not been following this case? How has Johannes Messerli's defense attorney, Michael Raines, acted in these preliminary hearings up until, you know, which we're about to start the case?
Well, for example, Raines wanted to bring in evidence of Oscar Grant's past, evidence where Oscar Grant may have run afoul of the law, and the deputy district attorney who's trying the case, David Stein, objected to some of the things that Michael Raines was attempting to get placed into evidence. He objected to it being characterized as this is Mr. Grant's character. He stated it might be more of habit or how a person reacts in a particular situation, but he did not want it to be seen as this was Oscar Grant's character.
So who is on trial? Is it Oscar Grant or is it Johannes Messerli?
Both are on trial. Johannes Messerli, the name of the trial is People of the State of California versus Johannes Messerli, but Oscar Grant and his friends are both going to be on trial also.
When you say Oscar Grant's friends, why do you say Oscar Grant's friends are going to be on trial?
Well, these are young black men who happened to be on the platform with him that night, who were harassed, who were handcuffed, and who witnessed that trauma of seeing their friend shot for no particular reason, their backgrounds are going to be brought into question. And when you bring into question young black men, in particular young black men, their backgrounds, you're also talking about their families, their upbringings, mamas, grandmamas, neighborhood. So it's a trial for everybody all around.
Is there any indication that Johannes Meserle or Tony Peroni, another officer involved in the case, will be charged with a hate crime due to the fact that they've called Oscar Grant and his friends bitch-ass nigger a number of times before he was murdered?
Well, interesting that you should bring that up. Not only was Meserle not charged with a hate crime, Michael Raines has filed a motion, he filed it last week, and I believe it is scheduled to be heard tomorrow at 9:30 a.m., in which he wants that statement, those words by Officer Tony Peroni, to be excluded from the testimony when Peroni is called to testify. And in his motion, he stated that his client, Johannes Meserle, had not been charged with a hate crime. Therefore, this language is prejudicial to his client. His client did not utter those words, and it should be stricken. Now, the DA, the deputy DA, David Stein, has not indicated that Tony Peroni will be charged with anything, let alone a hate crime. He has not indicated that there's going to be an additional charging of Meserle with a hate crime. So as it stands right now, we only have these statements, which Michael Raines is attempting to get booted out of the courtroom. And we won't know what happens with that until tomorrow.
Well, what can you tell us about Tony Peroni? I understand that he was in the news 2 weeks ago facing extradition, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell us a little bit about what Tony Peroni has been up to?
According to media reports, Tony Peroni was served with a notice to appear in court stating that he was an out-of-state witness in North Carolina. His attorney states that that was a ploy by the district attorney, that is, he's still a resident of California and that he intends to come in and testify. But Tony Peroni has been on leave from last year until about April when he was fired by BART. He was on leave because of his conduct and what led up to Oscar Grant's shooting, his conduct that night on the platform. So pretty much he was sitting around collecting his paycheck. He was placed on paid leave, and he was eventually fired.
Along with Dominici, another officer, right?
Right, Marisol Dominici. Now, John Burris has brought up on numerous occasions before he was gagged that...
Who is John Burris?
John Burris, who's the attorney for the family of Oscar Grant. The civil attorney, right, the attorney in the civil trial against BART. He has brought up on numerous occasions that Dominici and Peroni were involved in a sexual relationship, and early on, Michael Raines requested that that information be kept out of court because those two, he said, in so many words, those two were not on trial, and it would just take up a lot of time trying to investigate and dip into their lives to find that out, and it would be better off stricken from the record.
What is significant about that fact?
Well, what it looks like is that Tony Peroni, who, again, I don't have the actual sources for this, but from my cursory examination, it has been said that Tony Peroni has a history of going off on people, especially if he's had his steroid treatment, and so they call it roid rage. And so on the night in question, not only had he been, you know, basically pumped up on steroids, he felt that Marisol Dominici, his partner in BART, but also partner other ways, was being disrespected by these young black men. And that further caused an escalation in his behavior.
Can you talk a little bit about this gagging of John Burris? Why is this significant in the case, and why was John Burris gagged?
Well, whenever Mr. Burris speaks, he's, you know, a vigorous advocate for his clients, but he also points out information such as the relationship between Dominici and Peroni and other things that ends up making Meserle look not too squeaky clean. And so it's also a public relations ploy. Michael Raines is under has been under a gag order, and he cannot play to the public, and felt that Mr. Burris should also not be able to play to the public, even though Burris is the attorney for the civil trial. But the judge in this case, he stated that he did not know that Burris was also the attorney for several of the witnesses in this case, and it's because of that that he gagged him. Now, how he didn't know that when the gag order first came up in January, but he knows it now, you know, I'm not sure. I wasn't in the back when he was reading stuff and making decisions.
Now, can you update us on what happened today? What does the jury look like for Johannes Messerly?
The jury for Johannes Messerly has absolutely no African-Americans on it whatsoever. As jury selection was taking place, we saw the numbers being whittled down, and there were at least two African-Americans who had divulged their relationship to law enforcement. One man was married to a Los Angeles Police Department employee, a longtime employee. Another woman, her sister, was a sheriff. And we thought at least he would keep those two on, because it appeared to be a lot of jurors, a lot of potential jurors, who had police ties in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But he struck those two jurors after three other African Americans had been excused due to financial hardship or, you know, whatever else. So the court excused three off the top, and then when it came time to exercise their challenges, Michael Raines excluded the last two African Americans, which we, you know, we're not really surprised by that. When you, if you go to Indy Bay, which has been on top of the case from the beginning, just like the San Francisco Bay View, Indy Bay has got most of the documents from this case scanned and available for public view. When you go to Indy Bay, you can see the motion that Michael Raines filed to get the case moved out of Alameda County, and you'll see towards the end where he talks about African Americans are going to be prejudicial. They're not going to judge his client, Johannes Messerly, fairly. He even intimates in the pages that jurors might want to right past wrongs through this one case. So we really weren't surprised. We weren't that surprised. We thought, well, at least, you know, they've got some cop loyalty somewhere in there. He might keep them around, but he didn't. He did keep one Latino male who's got a relationship with law enforcement, but he struck the black folks.
So there's a number of different jurors that have relationships with law enforcement. So Michael Raines actually got what he was wishing for in an earlier motion.
He pulled this stunt earlier, attempting to get, I guess, uniformed law enforcement officers the ability to sit on the jury. But as we sat there in the jury room with about 50 to 75 prospective jurors, it was almost amazing. Somebody was married to a police officer. Someone hangs out with police officers. Someone did an internship with the cop. Somebody wanted to be a cop. Somebody's cousin was a cop. Again, like I said, one of the jurors who struck, his wife was an LAPD employee. It's like everywhere we looked, somebody had some type of relationship with law enforcement. Now, there were a few jurors who also had run-ins of various sorts with law enforcement, but that number paled in comparison to the people who had ties to law enforcement.
Did any of those make it on the jury?
One man did. But to my knowledge, he had a run-in. He said it was when he was younger and a smart aleck, and he kind of wised up, he said. When he was queried about his answer to one of the questions on the questionnaire.
How do you feel as a journalist about the coverage giving to the case of Johannes Messerly in Los Angeles? How has the media in Los Angeles, the alternative as well as the mainstream media, how have they covered this case?
I'm very, very disappointed in the coverage of this case in Los Angeles. I'm very disappointed in the coverage from the black press. I didn't expect much from the mainstream press, but, you know, like Jesse, I kept hope alive. But I'm very, very disappointed.
Why do you say that you're surprised from the black press?
Well, you know, the black press in America is an advocacy press. It was founded to advocate for African people because of the atrocities we were suffering. And so, you know, in the mainstream press, they have this notion of that which is newsworthy. When the advocacy press, you know, it's, you are supposed to cover that which is news and that which is happening every day and that which is of concern. If it's important to black people, it should be important to you. Now, a young black man shot in the back by a police officer, before we even get into particulars, was it murder? Was it an accident? young black man shot in the back by a police officer without resisting, that should be of concern to anyone who considers himself a black journalist, a black editor, a black newspaper publisher.
What do you foresee? I know that the trial is about to start on the 10th. What do you foresee in this trial, and how do you think Oakland and Los Angeles is going to respond if this officer is not convicted?
Well, it depends on what Michael Raines is able to get to keep out. It again depends on how vigorous Deputy D.A. Stein argues. Again, he's seemed a little bit quiet, and again, it could just be because he's warming up and getting ready for game time. So it depends on what is actually said and what actually goes on in the courtroom. It is our hope. I know it's my personal hope that much of the contradictory testimony that was revealed in the preliminary hearings last year will also be brought out again, and that the jurors will see it for what it is. That it, you know, I could be keeping hope alive again. I've done, you know, I'm guilty of that at times. But so, you know, once we actually get into it and see what else is going to be excluded, what is going to be allowed, and how the DA responds to it. Los Angeles is no stranger to police terrorism. That's one of the reasons why people were glad that the trial was moved here as opposed to San Diego. But, you know, there's still these different surprises that they've had for us, like today with the jury. The response, I know that there will be some anger and disappointment in Los Angeles. I can't speak for Oakland, but then again, I don't need to speak for Oakland. Y'all speak very well for yourselves.
Last question. Can you speak a little bit about the resistance? What is going on in Los Angeles with the resistance?
Well, you know, we are working on organizing more vigorously across ethnic lines. There have been a number of killings by police of not just black folks, not just brown folks, but Korean Americans, Mike Cho, a Pakistani American, Usman Chaudhary. And again, of course, blacks and browns take the brunt of this police terror. And so I know at least one forum has been held to address that. Spanish language media came and covered it very well. We're working on doing more work because at the end of the day, it affects all of us. And if we are all better organized to deal with it, you know, we won't be dealing with it in a reactive mode. We'll be dealing with it in a proactive mode. Los Angeles for years has attempted to get an elected civilian police review board. Michael Vinzon, a Black Panther, led that effort for many years. He passed away a couple of years ago. People are talking about that again, you know, the need for not only an elected civilian review board, but community control of police and who are the police actually accountable to. So the dialogue is here. The publicity is now beginning to pick up more that it is the week of the trial. And I know the L.A. Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant plans to continue to build on that and to work towards sustaining it so that there is some resistance, but also proactive resistance. But it remains to be seen what the future holds. The future is bright, but it remains to be seen what it holds.
All right. Thank you, Tandy.
Thank you, brother. You take care.
You too.
All right.